Those lines outside your local bookstore now aren't for Hillary, but for Harry. Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix went on sale today at midnight, most places. That's the fifth installment of J.K. Rowling's series about a boy wizard and his adventures at the Hogwarts School for Witchcraft and Wizardry. Some scholars of children's literature say that Miss Rowling brilliantly blends two classic genres of British children's literature, comic fantasies and boarding school tales. NPR's Netta Ulaby reports.
It's no surprise that boarding school captures young imaginations. Kids love the idea of living away from their parents, following completely different rules in a world made just for them. Mara Gubar teaches a class on boarding school stories at the University of Pittsburgh.
The first school story was in 1749, Sarah Fielding's The Governess. It's part of a literary tradition that we can trace back all the way to the 18th century.
But the genre didn't really kick off until 1857, when Thomas Hughes wrote Tom Brown's School Days. In 1940, the book was still popular enough to be filmed.
Tom, you are wonderful. I didn't think so when you first came, but I've changed my mind now.
The fictional Tom Brown attends an elite British boarding school called Rugby, and he sets the mold for the school story hero, says Philip Nell, who wrote a book about Harry Potter's literary influences. Tom is an ordinary kid with whom it's easy to identify. He breaks rules, but he's guided by decency. He befriends outsiders and underdogs, tussles with bullies, and although he's not a star student, he shows genius on the playing field.
Tom Brown excels at cricket and football, and of course, Harry excels at Quidditch.
That's the magical game that's a bit like basketball on broomsticks. And Hogwarts' omniscient headmaster Dumbledore comes from his own venerable lineage, says Mara Gubar.
Another big tradition that Rowling is drawing on is the sort of tradition of the godlike headmaster who knows everything. Rugby has Dr. Arnold, whose eye is everywhere.
I told you that it was my passionate desire that the boys of Rugby should learn to govern themselves. But you lied to me. Expulsion is a serious and a lasting disgrace.
Boarding school novels reached their apex in the 1920s and 30s. Stories by Enid Blyton, Rudyard Kipling, and Eleanor Brent Dyer remain popular in the United Kingdom. But Gubar says school stories also share a heavy whiff of moral didacticism, a tendency to teach that sometimes gets annoying.
And it's funny to think of Rowling as didactic, but I think she really is. I mean, as the series goes on, we've learned that there's lots of sort of lessons about how to behave, a lot of anti-prejudice lessons.
And the oppressed servants, known as house elves, give Harry Potter a powerful lesson about class.
Dobby has heard of your greatness, sir, but never has he been asked to sit down by a wizard like an equal.
You can't have met many decent wizards then.
No, I haven't.
In the process of reimagining boarding school books, J.K. Rowling added magic. She borrowed ideas from another beloved genre, the comic fairy story. Not many Americans have heard of E. Nesbitt, a British poet and socialist at the beginning of last century. But her children's books profoundly influenced the Harry Potter tales, says Philip Nell.
E. Nesbitt once remarked that she remembered exactly how she felt and thought at age 11. And J.K. Rowling has said that that statement really resonated with her.
Nesbitt created a series that began in 1902 with a book called Five Children and It. The It is a sand fairy that lives in a quarry behind the children's country home. It grants them one wish every morning that wears off at sundown. Philip Nell says that's good because the wishes bring unintended consequences.
One of their first wishes is to be as beautiful as the day, and then they are. But their family doesn't recognize them.
That scene is played out in a BBC adaptation.
I'm Cyril, and these the others, and we're jolly hungry.
I know we look different, but I'm Anthea, and we're ravenous, and it's long past our dinner time.
Then go home to your dinners. Whoever you are, let us in and don't be an idiot. Drat your impudence!
Other comic fantasies include Alice in Wonderland, the Narnia books by C.S. Lewis, and the works of Roald Dahl. Mara Gubar says her college students are sometimes shocked when they realize that J.K. Rowling's brand of storytelling has been around for years.
Because if you don't know the tradition, you just think, wow, like, look at all these ideas and all this incredible stuff that's happening and how original she is. And then, you know, you read something like Ursula Le Guin's Earthsea trilogy, a boy finds out he's, you know, an orphan, finds out that he has magical heritage, goes to a school for wizards, has to learn to cope with his powers. Same plot.
but Gubar says that doesn't diminish Rowling's originality, and students say their appreciation of Harry Potter is enriched by their knowledge of his ancestry. Netta Ulibi, NPR News, Washington.